بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله والحمد حقه كما يستحقه حمدا كثيرا. وأعوذ به من شر نفسي، إن النفس لأمارة بالسوء إلا ما رحم ربي. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، خاتم النبيين، سيدنا وحبيب قلوبنا وشفيع ذنوبنا، أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المطهرين المكرمين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين، من أول يوم ظلمهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. السلام عليك سيدي ومولاي يا أبا عبد الله، وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك. عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت، وبقي الليل والنهار، ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين جميعا، ورحمة الله وبركاته. قال الله العظيم في محكم كتابه الكريم، وهو أحسن القائلين وأصدق الصادقين، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: ومن آياته أن خلق لكم من أنفسكم أزواجا لتسكنوا إليها وجعل بينكم مودة ورحمة. آمنا بالله، صدق الله العلي العظيم. For the purification of the souls and the enlightenment of the hearts, and for the hastening of the reappearance of the awaited Savior, ajjalallahu ta'ala farajahu sharif, enlighten your souls and the atmosphere with the recitation of salawat upon Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad. Respected elders, brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. One of the things that many human beings look forward to and seek to establish and consider a milestone in their lives is marriage. In other words, marriage is deemed to be a happy and a joyful occasion, an occasion whereby a family unit is established, an occasion whereby the human being is able to seek tranquility and to settle down into ensuring that they can build their lives together. Marriage has been recommended in the religion of Islam in extensive detail, from the Holy Quran towards the traditions of the Ahlul Bayt. Numerous indications are present to highlight the importance of zawaj, translated as marriage. The Quran comes forward and says, when it comes to marriage, it is a holy, blessed institution, an institution in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed and has ensured that His mercy engulfs. At the same time, you look at, for instance, the traditions of the Ma'sumeen, such as the famous one narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, which states, من تزوج فقد أحرز نصف دينه فليتق الله في النصف الباقي. Whomsoever marries has safeguarded half of his religion. make sure that the other half is preserved and looked after. At the same time, the Prophet of Islam gives us an indication that when it comes to the sleep of the married person, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they get more reward than the bachelor who isn't married and stays the night in ibadah. In other words, marriage brings thawab and marriage entails rizq. And marriage ensures that the human being is able to achieve the objective of their existence. In other words, to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The narrations therefore indicate and highlight the importance of marriage and the fact that indeed it should be taken seriously. Yet when it comes to the Western world, when it comes to how marriage is perceived in certain communities and in certain societies in the West, we feel that the value of marriage is gradually declining. For instance, pick up the Time magazine of March 2012, published here in the United States. In Time magazine, what did they have? They had a special feature about the best 10 things to have happened so far in 2012. The best 10 behavioral trends that can be seen across society. Number one amongst the 10, according to Time magazine, was what? Was living alone. They said, living alone is something special and it liberates the human being. It enables them to dictate their affairs and at the same time ensures that they're not shackled and chained in a relationship and therefore they are able to achieve their objective. When they come to discuss this, they give statistics. 28% of households in the United States are living alone. This even increases further when we look at places like the United Kingdom. 34% in the United Kingdom are considered individuals who live by themselves. In other words, not within a particular family. Likewise, there are other statistics that have been shown today that highlight the danger that is facing marriage in the West. Such as what? Such as a study conducted in the United States in 2008. 44% of 15 to 25 year olds in this country said that marriage will become obsolete and extinct within the next 5 to 10 years. In other words, there will no longer be this need to enter into this relationship between the male and the female. Therefore, the challenge facing marriage is indeed great. Hence, the need to examine this subject. But the examination of the subject of marriage is normally extensive. And there are many features to talk about when it comes to marriage. What I wish to look at is two important areas. The first area is how do we ensure that marriage and marital relationship and this holy institution is strengthened and is built. In other words, how do we avoid this constant negative connotations associated with marriage that we see? In which way? Marriage today is considered as one of the ways in which mockery or laughter is presented by. Like what? Like somebody writes, he says, before I got married, I said to my wife, what did I say to my wife? I said to my wife, roses are red, the sky is blue, you are beautiful, and I love you. That's people what they say before marriage. He said, after I got married, I said to her, the roses are dead, I am blue, you are my headache, and one day I'll kill you. In other words, what they're saying is that sometimes after marriage, this indeed what would happen. Or they scare some of the youth about what entails for marriage because they give all these jokes and anecdotes about in-laws. You know, about the mother-in-law and the father-in-law. If you were today to pick up or to speak to someone about marriage, they are indeed frightened about this prospect. How do I deal with my mother-in-law or father-in-law? And therefore, people outside the religion of Islam and even some inside the religion often go for or sometimes go for this boyfriend-girlfriend relationship which is prohibited and rejected. I recall reading that one day an individual went with his mother-in-law to where? He went to Jerusalem. When he went to Jerusalem, his mother-in-law, he was from the United States. When he went to Jerusalem, his mother-in-law died. She passed away. He came to the U.S. consulate, the embassy. He said to them, what are the options as far as the burial of my mother-in-law is concerned? They said, you have two options. If she is buried in Jerusalem, it costs you $500. But if you take the body back to the United States, it costs you $10,000. He thought with himself, okay, no problem. He came back next day. He said, I want her to come back to the United States. They said, you're willing to pay $10,000 for your mother-in-law? You must love her a lot. He said, not really. I don't want to risk it. I heard many, many thousands of years ago, someone was buried here and they came back to life again. In other words, the idea that is often projected is this negativity. A man one day goes and wants to give a Christmas present to his mother-in-law. What does he do? He buys her a plot or a grave in the local Qabristan, in the local cemetery, as a Christmas present. She's surprised that he's done this. The next year, Christmas, he doesn't get her anything. She comes and says, why haven't you got me a Christmas present this year? He says to her, normally the practice is when someone gives you a Christmas present the year before, you have to use it. First of all, use the last year's Christmas present, then I will give you one. In other words, what? In other words, there is always this type of negativity associated with marriage. The objective of this discussion is what? Is to ask a number of important questions regarding zawaj. One of them is, how does the religion of Islam view success in marital relationship, especially when it comes to spouse selection? And number two, when we see all these problems in societies and in communities, when it comes to relationships between the husband and the wife, how do we deal with them? And what are the effective methods, especially when it comes to anger and anger management, which constitutes to sometimes being one of the main factors that causes the high divorce rates that we see in certain societies, especially in the West? When you analyze what makes a successful marital relationship, some studies have told us today in the West that you need to do a number of things. If you were today to search on the internet, a happy marriage, what makes a marriage happy? Some studies have said what you need to do is a number of things. Number one, you need to express love towards your wife or the wife towards the husband 3 times a day. Number two, you need to go out 2x a month for a romantic meal, they say. You know, this is the recommendations they say in order for marriage to become long-lasting and strong. They say you need to go out 2x a month for a romantic meal. You know, George Bush Sr., he said, I used to go out 2x in the week on a romantic meal. They said, really? He said, yes, I used to go out on Tuesday and my wife on Friday. In other words, sometimes we're told that if you do this, they say your marriage will be healthy and will be sustained. Another thing that they say you need to do is what? Is to ensure that you, for instance, hug each other on a regular basis. These are the recommendations that are presented before us. Yet the religion of Islam looks at marriage in a completely different light. In which way does the religion of Islam look at marriage? It looks at it in a total, holistic, comprehensive manner. Because sometimes marriage is viewed very superficially and in a shallow manner. People look at marriage as something that indeed should be done on a very basic level. In other words, they approach it without understanding the philosophy and the ethos behind it. Islam says, if you want a successful marriage, there are a number of things you need to do. You need to first and foremost understand what marriage is about in Islam. In other words, somebody once asked me a question. He said, why are we supposed to get married? Why? What is the purpose of marriage? The first thing that people tell you is that you get married because you need to, as far as your needs and your desires, and you need to associate yourself with the opposite gender. But Islam says, no, this is a very basic understanding of what marriage is about. Islam says you need to put marriage in the perspective of your goal in life. In which way?
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created you and I to become the best and to achieve perfection and virtue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you and I to achieve Jannah. And therefore, in our lives, He has given us and sustained us with ways in which we can attain His satisfaction and Jannah. And one of those ways is marriage and zawaj. And therefore, when it comes to the Quran and the narrations of the Ma'sumeen, we are told one of the most important goals in marriage is to attain Jannah and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what it means. You ask me how. I say to you that reflect upon the relationship known as marriage in the Quran. It was the first relationship that human beings saw between Adam and his wife Eve, Hawa. No other relationship preceded this particular relationship. Yet Allah says it is the setup that I bless. وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسِكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. It's Allah who has placed this love and mercy between the couple. But why has Allah placed the love and mercy? If they understand what marriage is all about. And this is highlighted by ensuring that we understand one thing. And that is, in everything that you and I do in life, there is a standard by which we measure our success. How do we know? Where do we seek? And which inspiration do we look for? And who are the role models as far as marital relationships and successful marriages are concerned? It certainly isn't people who get married in Hollywood and the celebrities, because you could see the type of relationships that they have. And after a while, that ends up in divorce and illicit relationships and affairs. Indeed, as Muslims, we have wonderful examples in history for us to measure and to be able to take lessons from when it comes to marriage, and to be able to ask what makes a marriage successful and why. At the onset, do I need to get married? We look at examples, and the best example you could see is Amir al-Mu'mineen and Sayyidatu Nisa al-Alameen, Fatima al-Zahra, salawatullahi wa salamu alayhuma. Just analyze the life of Ali and Fatima, and you can understand what marriage in Islam is all about. In which way? Amir al-Mu'mineen and Lady Fatima were both asked about what is their opinion about each other. Valuation and feedback about each other. Sayyida Fatima was asked, what is your opinion about Ali ibn Abi Talib, about your husband? She replied back by saying, Ni'mal ba'al. He's the best husband in all the qualities that I'm looking for when it comes to a husband. Amir al-Mu'mineen was asked, what is your opinion about your wife, Sayyida Fatima? Amir al-Mu'mineen replied back by saying, Ni'mal awnu ala ta'atillah. She is the best aid and support and help in achieving what? In achieving the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning what? Meaning that Amir al-Mu'mineen is telling you and I that the goal of marriage and what should be in the minds of those who are not married yet and those who are already married is to establish a pact, a covenant, something together between the husband and wife. They come together and they say, Allah has created us and has blessed us with marriage. Therefore, let us make a strong commitment to each other that we work together and attain Jannah together. That we wish to attain paradise. We are both individuals who are servants of Allah, and therefore marriage fits into this spiritual holistic goal of life, and that is to fulfill that important determined objective. It is not just simply out of lust and desire, because then it becomes something superficial and then the problems emerge. Why? Because when we do not identify the philosophy, then from the onset we indeed have not appreciated how we can sustain marriage and how we can keep it going. In which way? Let's talk about briefly about spouse selection. Because many people ask the question, what should I be looking for when it comes to a prospective wife? Or for the wife to look for a prospective husband? And by the way, it is both ways. It is both ways. You ask me why. I say to you that sometimes we have this idea culturally that it is only the male who should be looking for the female and asking the parents that I wish to get married. And the girl or the daughter or the sister should be quiet until someone comes and knocks on the door and says, I want to get married to her. Wrong. This is not what the religion of Islam states. You ask me why? I say to you, look at Sayyida Khadija. It was Sayyida Khadija who went to Rasulullah and said, I want you to get married to me. It was Sayyida Khadija who proposed to the Prophet of Islam, not the other way around. And therefore, if it wasn't something that it should have been done, Rasulullah would have said, no, you can't propose to me, I have to propose to you. Whereas it was something established, and therefore both females and males are in the position to request and to initiate the process of marriage. This is something that we have to understand. The question is, what should they be looking for? What are the qualities they should be trying to ascertain? And we are continuously told that many a times in our search for a prospective wife or a husband, some people look for wealth, others look for beauty. Quran and the message of the and the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt alayhum salam remind you and I about one important determination in our minds, and that is what? And that is, above all, there needs to be an effort to seek an individual who has God consciousness and fears Allah. I remember that a scholar said in Qom, I was sitting in a bus, and in front of me there was an old lady and a young lady. And the old lady was speaking to the young lady, and the young lady said to her, there is a man who's come to propose to me. There's a man who's come to ask for my hand. Shall I tell you about him? She says, yes. Tell me about what do you want to say? She said he's quite tall and he's fairly good looking and he has this kind of five cars and this. So the old lady says, stop. I want you to tell me one thing. She says, what? Does he fear Allah? Tell me, does he fear Allah? The lady said, yes, from my understanding and from my research, he does. The old lady said, then don't worry about everything else, because as long as he fears Allah, everything else will fall into place. Everything else will go, because he will not abuse you or mistreat you, because he knows Allah is watching. Therefore, taqwa and this belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala must be the most important quality. And you know the Holy Prophet of Islam, Al-Rasul al-A'zam Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Mentions famously, whomsoever looks for beauty in marriage, Allah may give him beauty, but this beauty is short-lived, transient, temporary. Why? Because beauty goes with age. And whomsoever looks for wealth, they may get wealth, but once again, wealth can be taken away. But whomsoever looks for taqwa and looks for God consciousness, Rasulullah says Allah will give him taqwa, wealth and beauty. It comes in a package, yet you need to be looking for the right conditions. In which way? Sometimes when it comes to this idea, we tend to look superficially. We tend to look as far as our desires is concerned. Yet the household, which is indeed what the religion of Islam encourages, is a household that is built on the foundations of taqwa and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, this quality should supersede every other in the search for marriage. Number one. Number two, is this enough though? Because some people say taqwa and that's it. I here will tell you that the narrations tell us that there are a number of other qualities that should come, which are normally as a result of taqwa. As a result of taqwa. Sometimes our brothers and sisters complain. They say, our sisters for instance, and tomorrow we will have an examination, an in-depth examination about a new perspective when it comes to hijab. But I will say one thing about marriage and hijab, that some of our sisters complain and they say, the reason why I do not wear the hijab or adorn the Islamic dress code is why? Is because when it comes to marriage, it reduces my chances. In certain communities, it reduces my chances, and therefore I take the hijab off. And others say that when I wear the hijab, I may not be in the position like others. I say to them, do not begin your married life on the wrong foundations. Do not look for the pleasure of human beings over the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do not sacrifice Islamic teachings and values for dunya and for short-term pleasures, because this will never last. And any relationship that starts on a wrong foothold will not last and will not be blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want it to be indeed strengthened, then look for what the Almighty is looking for. And at the same time, He will bless it. He will encapsulate it with His love and His mercy, and will ensure that that is indeed strengthened and becomes a harmonious relationship. What else is needed with taqwa? Number two, akhlaq. We are told, مَنْ جَاءَكُمْ مَنْ تَرْضَوْنَ دِينَهُ وَخُلُقَهُ إِذْ جَاءَكُمْ. Whomsoever comes you and you are pleased with his deen, with his taqwa, as well as his akhlaq. And I do not wish to go over the details of what? Over the details of akhlaq. I wish to say one point. One important quality that our brothers and sisters should be looking for in each other when it comes to akhlaq in marriage is flexibility. Soft-heartedness, the ability to change, the ability to accept criticism and to walk towards better and improving one's position. In which way? We are told the Prophet of Islam says, "Al-mu'minu layyinu al-arika." The believer is one who is soft in their heart, not stubborn, not hard-hearted. Meaning what? One of our scholars says that one day, a couple came to him and they were disputing between each other. They were fighting. So they said, "Maulana, we have been blessed with a child and none of us are agreeing about the name of our son. We have a son and none of us is agreeing. So we want you to pick the Quran and whatever page it comes up, whatever name of a male, we will accept. Because we are not, none of us is willing to reconcile or compromise." The Mawlana, the Shaykh, said to them, "By the way, if I pick up the Quran, let me warn you that Fir'aun is mentioned many times." "Are you sure?" They said, "Mawlana, Bismillah, please, just do it." So the Mawlana picks up the Quran, he opens it, it's the story of Prophet Lut. He says to them, "Lut." They say, "No, thank you very much, we'll decide ourselves." In other words, sometimes we do not become individuals who do what? Who sacrifice on issues that are not necessarily fate determining or pivotal in our lives. An individual who's soft-hearted and is able to compromise is an individual who can work with the other to attain the goal of marriage. And in other words, they can build this relationship together. In which way? In the way that we encourage our brothers and sisters who are not yet married, and even those who are married, when it comes to this institution, to understand the pivotal point that science tells us today, that brothers and sisters, males are not the same as females. Do not accept this notion in the West that says to you, males and females, everybody is the same. Allah has created males and females different. In which way? I am not saying that males have been treated better than females and vice versa. The way their makeup is and the way their existence and the way their behavior is different. In which way? That we are told that, for instance, females are softer and they desire more emotion and compassion and more love. And males are more dominant naturally and they want more respect. And hence, before a marriage, if both the boy and the girl understand each other, as far as, for instance, researching and reading books in order to appreciate that the males and the females are different, when it comes to problems later on, they are able to identify and deal with them in accordance to this particular important foundation. That states that males and females have sometimes different needs and different wants and different desires. It's not a universal aspect shared between males and females. These small ideas that will begin from the onset will help the choice and the selection to go forward. And of course, there is much more that can be said about spouse selection. However, I wish to examine the second area, and that is, why is it that we have in our day-to-day time problems between the female and the male, between the husband and the wife? Why do we find disputes? Why is it that the divorce rates are increasing? It's because we have not mastered the art of reconciliation and diagnosing the problems that happen in marital relationships. I recall that I was told once that an individual was asked by his community to deliver a lecture, to deliver a speech. He was not a speaker, but he was told, why don't you give a speech on a Thursday night to your community? He went back and he said to his wife, he said, the community have asked me in order to give a majlis, or in order to give a lecture, what should I speak about? His wife said, I have the best topic for you. He said, what? She said, speak about how women are always oppressed by men. He said, no, do you know what I'm going to speak about? She says, what? He said, I will speak about how men are always oppressed by women. They had an argument. One of them would say something and the other would say the other thing. He left angry. He went to the mosque. He stood to deliver his speech. He gave the speech that he had planned. At the end, what did he say? At the end he said, dear brothers, if you agree with me that men are oppressed by women, please stand up. Once I said this in a majlis and some people actually stood up. So all of the people stood up except one person sitting right in the corner of the hall. So the speaker said, Alhamdulillah, at least the vast majority of the people agree with me. That person in the corner said, dear brother, I swear I agree with you, but I had a fight with my wife and my leg is broken. The idea is what? The idea is sometimes this type of image is depicted, that there are problems that exist in our marital relationships and we need to look for solutions. We need to look at why this is happening. Why is it that we are not indeed having this harmonious relationships and ensuring that the marriage is flourishing? And of course, there are a number of points to keep in mind. But the object of the discussion that I wish to look at is one crucial element that's missing in, or at least we need to work on in marital relationships. And that is communication. We are told that a recipe for a successful marital relationship is effective communication between the husband and wife. What do we mean when we say communication? What are the aspects in communication? One element of communication is spending time with each other, allowing each other to be able to discuss matters that affect them, and at the same time listening to each other's concerns. Rasulullah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, he mentions the idea that whomsoever spends time with his wife, they will get more reward than the believer who goes where? Than the believer who goes to Masjidun Nabawi and spends 3 days in i'tikaf. Imagine, if you go to the mosque of the Prophet and spend 3 days in i'tikaf, you will not get as much reward as the believer that spends time with their wife. Likewise, one of the areas in communication is what? One of the areas is to think about the well-being and the welfare of the other over oneself, known as altruism, ithar, sacrifice. How beautiful it is that we learn from the household of Ali and Fatima that at the end of the day, one of the problems that emerges in marital relationships is egoism, self-centeredism, the idea that people look for the betterment, or they want themselves to emerge as victorious in an argument. It's all about when I will ensure that my point comes out as the better one. Whereas an art of communication that we are told is to look at the idea that, look, this person is indeed part of this family unit, that Allah, that the Holy Prophet of Islam says is the most sacred institution, more sacred than a hospital, more sacred than a school, more sacred than any other, and you need to preserve, and you need to look after, and you need to defend against all the challenges out there, and therefore let me, allow me to sacrifice. Like what? Like when it comes to Ali and Fatima. Look at how always they had the other in their mind and the well-being of others before themselves. A man comes to the mosque of the Holy Prophet and says, Ya Rasulullah, I am hungry and I need someone to feed me. The Prophet sends a message to his family, his wives. His wives say that we do not have any food. The only companion or only individual in the mosque of the Prophet that says, Ya Rasulullah, I can take him, was Amir al-Mu'mineen. Amir al-Mu'mineen takes this man. Sayyida Fatima does not know that this man is coming. In other words, there's no prior warning. Imagine that when the husband brings somebody who is poor and needy to the house, and the wife does not expect this, if the wife is in tune with the husband as far as the goal of marriage, which is seeking the pleasure of Allah and attaining Jannah together and achieving thawab, then they will indeed welcome that guest. True? So when Amir al-Mu'mineen brought this person into the house, Sayyida Fatima said, brilliant, this is excellent, but just to let you know, we have a meal for one person. And of course, none of them had eaten. Neither Imam al-Hasan or Hussein or Sayyida Fatima or Amir al-Mu'mineen had eaten. So Amir al-Mu'mineen said, no problem. What we'll do is we'll switch off the light and I'll bring the food for him so he wouldn't see that I am not eating from the meal, so that he can fulfill his hunger all by himself. And that would be it. When he did this, in the morning, Amir al-Mu'mineen goes to the mosque of the Prophet. Rasulullah says to him, Ya Ali, what did you do last night? He says, why? He says, there is a verse in the Quran, chapter 59, verse number 9. وَيُؤْثِرُونَ عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ وَلَوْ كَانَ بِهِمْ خَصَاصَةً. They favor others over themselves even though they need it. Amir al-Mu'mineen said, this is the story. Rasulullah said, this verse has been revealed on your merit. Can I ask the brothers to move forward, please, as much as possible? Please recite loud salawat ala Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad whilst moving forward. Within this skill of communication that married couples need to sharpen and you need to read about and understand and sometimes even go to counseling or to courses in order to be able to communicate effectively, emerges the problem of anger that we see when we deal with marital breakups or difficulties. That one of the complaints is that either the man, the husband, or the wife has